Father, we bow before you. Keep growing our minds and our hearts' ability to grasp who you are, your character, your awesome power, your holiness, and so many other characteristics. We would be truly awed. We would stand in your presence, fall before you, surrender before you. We would be okay being weak, that you would be strong. Help us experience you personally and powerfully here this morning. Amen. Well, good morning. We're on the second last week of our series through Ephesians already. It's gone pretty quick. I mean, we started in the fall and did the first three chapters of our identity. Now we're already in the last chapter of how to live out our identity in Christ. And a theme in these verses, though we could have taken months, many weeks, even months, to unpack just these 10 verses, we're going to do it all in one today. And the theme, a theme here, is on strength. There's a strength here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I think of one sport. What sport, maybe you can think of it too. It requires 90% core and arm strength and 10% groan noises. Yeah, tennis. Nailed it right off the bat, right? Have you ever seen a tennis match where it's not, right? They always have to have the groan noises in there. But there is some arm strength and core and et cetera as well. When I think of strength, I also think of people I've known who have modeled strength. I think of one guy, I didn't know him at all, actually. But I was walking through a home show. This was years ago. I was in my teens, so actually decades ago. And, you know, they've got the place that does brickwork and foundations and roofing. It's a home show. But sometimes there's other booths set up that don't have anything to do with particularly building a home or whatever else. This one had Gold's Gym set up. So there's a few guys there, you know, 250, 300-pound guys all rippled with their workout muscles and everything else. And they're challenging people to arm wrestling as part of this home show. This, I don't know, I'm guessing he was a farmer by the way he was dressed. Comes along with his longer coat on. He's built, I kind of think of Alan Dirksen here. He's about that size. So the guy on the other side of the table from Gold's Gym is double his weight, maybe a little more. This guy comes along, pulls his sleeve, this one arm out of the sleeve, goes to the table, calmly puts the guy down, puts his arm back in his sleeve, and continues on. It was just an amazing display of strength, and the other guys are all going, no, what just happened there, right? That shouldn't be able to take place. But I also think of another feat of strength. When I was in shipping receiving, scheduling drywall deliveries, different places, I had all the guys meet at one job at the end of a day, a bigger job, so they'd all finish their individual deliveries. But as they're pulling in, I can just tell there's a dynamic going on. They've been talking at this last job site, and they're all on a mission. Every guy out of the truck, they're all heading towards the 12/5/8 fire guard. It's about 110 pounds a sheet. Several guys grab six sheets, three doubles, flip it up, and one guy grabs it. It's about 665 pounds. They're 4 feet high, 12 feet long. And my comment was, I'm the shipper receiver, I said, compensation's not covering this, but I will watch. I don't condone it, but I'll watch. So, you know, it's 5/8 times 6 across his hand. One guy carried it the length of the warehouse, brought it back, and flopped it back down, 665 pounds. That's an amazing feat of strength. But there's other ways to look at strength. His character, I wouldn't have wanted to model almost anything I saw in his character. Physically, he was very strong. Now, another man I knew, I worked for him when I was in construction. He was a large, broad man, physically strong, but that wasn't by anywhere near the most memorable thing about him. The most memorable thing about him was how gentle and kind and strength of character he demonstrated in any situation I saw him in. His strength of character, when his wife was killed suddenly, all the people coming to visit, and this was, I don't know, how old would they have been looking at Beverly? In their 50s. Like, you know, and she was killed suddenly. But he is so full of Christ, he's ministering to the people that come to minister to him. Just, and that wasn't, it wasn't a show, it wasn't to try and do the right thing. It was just who he was, that he lived that out. His strength of character was inspiring. And this strength there, this power, is what Ephesians is talking about. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. This is literally be strengthened. And we'll look at that in a few minutes. I'm just going to go through three things here this morning. Like I say, we should break each of these down into smaller pieces. But as we look at this, a final word from Paul. We're going to have one more week as he actually wraps up, but here he says the final word. These 10 verses, 10 to 20. We're going to look at be strengthened in verse 10. Be prepared, verses 11 to 17. And be prayerful in verses 18 to 20. I mean, it was common at the time. It was common enough at the time to end with an appeal that took the central message of the letter. Again, one of the themes throughout Ephesians, yes, is our identity in Christ and how do we live out our identity in Christ. Another key theme throughout the book of Ephesians is this power, this strength of the Lord being lived out in our lives. So he takes one of these central messages of the letter and pressed it to stir in the reader's hearts and wills to support the writer. And Paul does this here. This section must be read in the light of the rest of Ephesians as a call to live out the gospel. There's a cosmic happening here, a reconciliation that's going on where he reconciles us and we are called to share that good news that others can be reconciled as well. It's not an appendix. It's not a for those with a special interest in demons and spiritual warfare. This is a part of the whole story of Ephesians that's been unpacking. So Paul chooses to recast his message in the form of a battle address. He addresses to the whole church corporately as an army. Not singular saints, and we'll mention that again. Not lone soldiers, which are easy to pick off, right? How easy is it to surround one soldier? But it's an army. It's a whole group that he's writing to here. We need to understand that. His exhortation does not prepare soldiers to make a quick-moving attack. In fact, the Roman soldiers' key attack weapons, the twin javelins, are missing in what he describes here. But what he's describing here, and he says repeatedly, is the how to take a stand. Stand your ground. How to stand firm. Not be overcome. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Let's look first at being strengthened. Be strengthened. This verse, right, that we keep reading. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. strong. It's an adjective that describes something, like the men I described. Some were physically strong, some were strong of character, some both. But there's a great power, there's an influence, there's an ability to move whatever is hindering or work against another force. And to withstand a force, right? A strong tree isn't toppled by a strong wind. It's able to stand its ground. This is literally, like I said earlier, be strengthened. It's a process. It's ongoing. And you're being strengthened constantly. It's not, okay, be strong, right? You did your workout, and now you're good for the rest of life. This is being strengthened in an ongoing way. It's a process. Strong sounds like, oh yeah, I am strong. I have reached it, achieved it, done, one and done. But this is an ongoing process. Any person, any created person can react, right? We can hurt back when we're hurt. We can take revenge. We can withhold forgiveness. None of that demonstrates strength. Right? We see that in a lot of movies. Right? How many of our action movies are, ooh, somebody did something to one of my family members, I'm going to take revenge, right? And they do it in very cool ways with martial arts and stuff like that. But it's not a demonstration of true strength. It's entertainment, but it's not real life. A follower of Jesus learns to rely on the power of His might, Christ's might, where we can love and forgive our enemies even. And it's more powerful, much more powerful, than the greatest action figures. Finally, this is in union with the Lord, right? That ongoing process, being strengthened in union with the Lord, we become capable by means of His great strength to do what we're absolutely not able to do apart from Him. It's in that relationship, in who we are in Christ. In Him, we can live it out. It's not something different. And this is also together, not individually. Though this armor, right, you would only dress one soldier at a time. This is totally written you, as in you the church. You are the army of God. And together we stand, take our stand. It's not as individualistic as we. Yes, we have individual responsibilities, but there's also a collectiveness, right? That we can stand, take this stand together. I think of in His power and in Christ's might. He started with this, Ephesians 1:19. Should come up on the screen as well. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power. And who has access to that power? For us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. This is the power we have access to, brothers and sisters. Are we accessing this power? Are we trusting in ourselves in some way? Are we being strengthened in Christ and in the power, His mighty power? Read a little bit of 1 Samuel 30. David's been experiencing incredible opposition here in 1 Samuel. He's actually run to the Philistines. He flees to the Philistines earlier in chapter 27. And the Philistines reject him. Right? This is his, he conquered Goliath. He's not really liked down there, but he's so desperate, he runs to them, and they won't trust him. We get to verse 30, and now his wives have been captured, I want to read from verse 4 in 1 Samuel. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. That's pretty overcome. That's not just a mild disappointment. This is facing it right at the bottom. This is as low as life can get here. No more strength even to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive. It says their names there. And David was greatly distressed. Right? We sometimes put David up there. Well, you know, we know he was suffered with distressing things and whatever else, but he always took it with such courage, right? No, actually, he's really greatly distressed. He's overcome. He's got no more strength even to cry. For the people spoke, this is the people who are following him. They're so discouraged, the people spoke of stoning him as their leader. It's not a great place to be. Because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his own sons and daughters. So what does David do? But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How often do we turn to other people, right? Even churches, right? We look so much to these mega church pastors, and when they fall, several people are scattered. They had more faith in their pastor than they do actually in the Lord himself. It's a misplaced faith. David as a leader, even when his own people are so distressed, they're ready to stone him just out of desperation. David strengthens himself in the Lord. That's his first step. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, and the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Then he asks for wisdom. How many times we rush in, we go, God, give me the answer to my problem, what's causing me distress. We haven't sat in his presence and been strengthened by the Lord. That's first and foremost, that he's strengthened by the Lord. Be strong, be strengthened in an ongoing way in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's his response. You need to take that to heart. Be strengthened in the Lord's glorious power. Stop. Receive what God has for us. Even before we ask for answers or solutions or what we should do in the middle of this, just be simply strengthened. Let God meet us where we're at. That's what David does. Be strengthened. That's first. There's a meme with some truth to it. It's come up on the screen with some cats, kittens, going into the prayer room. They come out as lions. They've been strengthened by the Lord and in his presence. Verse 10 flows into verse 11 and really transitions into the next part. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Transitions, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Be strengthened is the first step. Be prepared is the next step, verses 11 to 17. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Couple significant alls in that. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Now, often when this passage is dealt with, it's often the later verses, and here's what the pieces of armor are, and I'll leave that to you to reflect on later because I'm not going to go into all of them this morning. How fast we're going through Ephesians in this particular series. But I do want you to think about it, right? I think of Brian Dirksen, not the famous singing one, but the one that goes to this congregation, does triathlons. So there's running, biking, and swimming. And I think of me, well, yes, I used to be a distance runner, and I do well on a bike. When it comes to swimming, you better have a rescue team on hand, because I'm going to put out a lot of energy but not get that far, and then I'm going to start going this direction, and you'll need to rescue me from the bottom. I wouldn't be prepared in all aspects of it. It'd be foolish for me to sign up and say, hey, I'm going to do a triathlon, when I only got these two pieces in place. It says put on all of God's armor. So we do need to think about that. What is all of God's armor? We might be really strong in a few pieces of it. But do I have it all in place so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil? This verse goes on. Verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Being prepared is not includes never underestimating our opponent. Don't underestimate the unseen world, the mighty powers, this dark world, and the evil spirits in the heavenly places. We kind of skip through life and hope things just work out. But I think we're far underestimating the enemy of our souls. Don't underestimate our opponent. Therefore, put every piece, he repeats it because we're slow to hear, he's even slower to act. Put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy at the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Don't overestimate yourself or ourselves. This is a picture of one, including individual responsibilities that we have. It's also a picture of the many. As I've said, this is written to the believers in Ephesus. It's a picture of the many, and there's a collective responsibility to be strengthened and be prepared. Together we are prepared to stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. Right, we looked at some of Genesis last week. What an opportunity for Adam, who heard God directly say, enjoy all this, all these trees, but don't eat of this one. And then Satan says, did God really say? And he twists it. What an opportunity to be fit with the belt of truth in Adam to say, actually what he really said was this. And speak the truth. Know the truth. The belt of truth. And the body armor of God's righteousness. Of God's righteousness. I didn't like that piece in the video. I don't know if you caught it. It went so fast. And then it said, here's the fast version. I thought that was pretty funny. But God's righteousness, right? It means, in the video it said, making right decisions. It's a part of righteousness. We learn how to live rightly. But a key aspect of that breastplate or the body armor of God's righteousness is understanding it's His righteousness, not ours. It's His that we have. And we've rooted and grounded in that armor of God's righteousness. That's what we've been fitted with. Yes, that's how he sees us. It did have that right in the video. Remembering how we're seen. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. Right? It's the response to the good news. It brings us peace with God. Shalom is what it is. Things set right. Put those on for ourselves and so that you'll be prepared. Yes, and they proclaim that good news. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith. What's our object of faith? When push comes to shove, what does life reveal that our real faith is in? We're like David, we go to him first, strengthened by him. Or do we rely on something else? Incredibly wealthy in this part of the world. Often we rely on our own bank accounts or something else. Rely on another person. Just need to talk to you right now. Yes, we need each other, but we're utterly dependent on God, and we learn to be interdependent with one another. What's our faith really in? So that we stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as our helmet, right? That our identity, this is who we are. Don't believe the lies. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And Jesus lived this out. When he was tempted, what did he do? Responded with the Word of God, but he wasn't carrying it in his back pocket. He had it right here. Do we actively memorize the Word of God and know that we need to? Are we underestimating our enemy or overestimating ourselves and going, yeah, you know what, I know enough, I'm pretty good. It'll work out, it's okay, I'm not that. I don't really need the sword of the Spirit ready at a moment's notice. We don't go and get dressed every day for battle. Are we prepared in all aspects of this? I think back to when I did street ministry downtown Toronto. We would meet. First, I'd be praying throughout the week actively for that kind of engagement on the streets of Toronto. Then we would meet as a team and pray for each other. Then when we went out two by two, we're praying as we go. And we knew it was battle. And we would get together afterwards and debrief. What happened? What can we learn? How can we be more prepared next time? Be prepared. There's individual responsibility. There's collective responsibility. I think of Paul. How hard did he work, even as a Pharisee memorizing Scripture? He had an incredible foundation to build on, even when God called him. He had understanding. He was teachable. He was redirected in a big way and in other ways. He understood culture. He worked hard to understand culture. This battle matters. He would proclaim the good news, the gospel to whoever, wherever, but not out of boldness, out of timidity. Right? Always asking for churches, please pray for me that I could speak with boldness. Because he was timid. He was scared. He comes to them with fear and trembling. He says that many times. We sometimes think, wow, Paul's just amazing. He went there and did it so courageously. No, he didn't. He went and was strengthened in the Lord. And he was prepared with the full armor of God on. And a part of that is asking others, requesting for prayer constantly so that he could stand. He could stand in the midst, in the gap for others, and stand together as a community of believers. See, when we fail to prepare, we prepare to fail. Right? If I sign up for a triathlon and I don't prepare by learning how to swim way better than I know, I'm just preparing to fail. Are we doing that? Are we preparing to fail because we're failing to prepare? Underestimating our opponent, overestimating ourselves. We need to be vigilant and stand firm, being prepared, being strengthened, being prepared. And I've already said it a few times, but being prayerful. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. This isn't a new thought. But might we need to take some action in this area? I said several weeks ago that I needed to ramp up my prayer life. Thank you that somebody came to me right after that service and said, would it be helpful if we connected every couple weeks to see how that's going? Yes, it would be helpful. Thanks for doing that. It's not a new thought, but do we need to take some new action to really being prayerful? He states it here plainly. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers. Yes, for our missionaries out there and for one another. All believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Here's another example. Paul recognizing just how bad he needs this. Ask God to give me the right word so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him. As I should. He knows full well what he should do. And he knows how fearful and trembling he is at actually carrying it out. Would you pray for me? I'm doing that. Be prayerful. Jesus wrestled in prayer. He was consistent in prayer, both publicly and privately. He was constant in prayer. If Jesus lived such a prayerful life, how arrogant of me to think I'm going to cruise through life and stand firm and be this amazing follower of his and not be prayerful. Going into the prayer room. Yeah, absolutely, a timid little kitten. Coming out of the prayer room, having been strengthened and being strengthened by the Lord and the power of his might, and prepared, prayerful, learning to rely on him. We're in a war. This is war. There's a very real adversary. Satan, the devil. But we're on the winning side. We have access to the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We're accessing that power. Assess our own lives here this morning. Are you being strengthened in the Lord and the power of his might? Are you being prepared? Putting on that full armor of God. And are we prayerful? Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I confess I'm shrunk back in fear. And I've not turned to you first and foremost in a lot of scenarios. But I'm convicted and encouraged here today by David, by Paul, by you, Jesus. You were fully man. And you prayed. And I pray you would show us this morning some adjustment in our lives so that we can live out more accurately who we are. We are yours. We are your ambassadors. We are your children. We are your commissioned ones. Together we are your army. And we want to be those who stand firm. Would you help us build things into our lives so that we are actively being strengthened, being prepared, and living prayerful lives dependent on you.